about tonight.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Episode, we almost at 300. But happy holidays to everybody out there. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Hey, what's going on, Keys? My co-host with the most. What it do, buddy?
My man. I'm out here, bro. Chilling. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Almost 300.
Almost 300, bro. Hey, man, but look. Our last show was something about the pay-per-view that I didn't like. And I meant to talk about it, but I didn't. But I'm gonna bounce it off of you. You know, man, when I was watching the Adesanya Pereira fight, why did Pereira seem like he was a heavyweight in there compared to Adesanya probably being no more than maybe 200 pounds? This brings back something that me and you talked about a few years ago. And I think Pereira actually makes us have to talk about it again. When the fighters rehydrate, Keith, how much do you think they should legally be able to weigh after they weigh in for the fight? How many pounds do you think they should be able to gain?
I mean, honestly, I don't really even like the idea of them even gaining any weight back. I feel like if you're fighting it that way, you should be fighting it that weight. I don't really understand.
Okay.
So me personally, my plan A, I mean, and this has come from a point of I'm not an expert on weight cutting or, you know, how it is on the body. I know people will probably try to burn me at the stake for saying, you know, no weight cutting, you know, no rehydrating. But I think they shouldn't be rehydrating. I think you should be fighting at the weight you're fighting at. It's like, what is the point of telling us what the tail of the tape? This is the thing that, like, some of my, you know, one of my boys asked me this. He's like, why are they saying these two guys are fighting at 185 if, you know, this one's probably weighing 210 and, you know, this other one's weighing 220, like, whatever. Like, and I'm like, honestly, I don't have the answer. I was like, I don't really know why. Like, what's the point of it being a weight class if these guys are all going to just rehydrate to whatever weight they want to be at? Like, so really, my answer A is zero. I think they should not be able to rehydrate at all. Because if you're fighting at that weight class, you should be able to fight at that. It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. I would say that would be a perfect answer in a perfect world. But I'm going to be a little bit more lean. I'm going to say that if you weigh in at 185, you should not come in no heavier than 190. And we'll give you a grace pound. So you should not come in no heavier than 191. So basically when both fighters rehydrate, they know that the next day when they step on the pre-fight scale, they should be between 5 to 6 pounds heavier, not 20 to 25 pounds heavier. And putting on that extra weight, especially when you are like that division, where it's 185, but they're not heavy enough to be light heavyweights. But then you got Pereira probably coming in at probably about 210. Nah, man, I'm not with that, man. I just think that's too much, and I think the UFC need to do something about it, man. Man, you have talked plenty of times about we think fighters should fight closer at their walk-around weight. You know, it's more healthier for them. You know, they ain't got to go through these vicious weight cuts on the body. You know, they probably have to cut maybe around 5, maybe 10 pounds at the most. So, but yeah, man, that whole Pereira weight gain thing, man, that bothered me during the fight. And for a while, you know, I know DC and them kept saying he's huge. And then when I looked at him, I was like, man, he got to be about 205, 210. So, yeah, man, I just didn't like that whole situation with the rehydration thing.
Yeah, I mean, 5 pounds, that's why I said it was my A, because 5 pounds, yeah, that's okay. I mean, I would like that, because I know this is the perfect world scenario. It's like, okay, they're probably not going to stop the rehydration thing. It seems like that's been, you know, that's been around for a long time, you know, the system where they have it pretty much. So, you know, 5 pounds, that would be still, so 5 pounds would still be a lot better. I'll say that. You would still be a lot better than what they're doing now. Because I just don't think it's fair that you have all these weight bullies, you know, in all these different divisions. It's like, you know, a lot of people speculate that about McGregor. It's like, how come McGregor was just knocking everybody out at 145 such a long time? And a lot of people speculate that he was always a bigger dude. I mean, that's up for debate. I don't really know what the truth is. But a lot of people speculate that. Like, you see guys like that, and it's like, they go on these runs, and then once they move up, the closer to their actual weight, you see them start to struggle. And it's like, okay, now they're fighting dudes that are actually their size. And a lot of people speculate that about Khabib. They say, how come Khabib never went up to 170 or 185 if he's actually a bigger dude? And it's like, right now, he's probably walking around 200-plus easily. It's like, how come he wasn't moving up a weight? And it kind of leaves that the question. It's like, do guys not want to fight guys that are their own size? Like, is everyone just trying to fight smaller guys? I mean, Tyron Woodley's thing was he wasn't that big. Like, Tyron Woodley was jacked, but he wasn't a big, I don't know if you could say he was a big welterweight, you know what I mean? I feel like he was, like, if he fought at 185, like, I feel like there would be, like, he would be small at 185, you know? Like, he would have to really bulk.
I agree.
He would have to really... Yeah, he would have had to really bulk up, you know. He would have had to put on some size to really, and not just, like, okay, let me not cut the weight and just fight it when it, like, I don't think he would have been that much bigger, you know, because I feel like he's not that big of a dude. He's just jacked, like, he, you know, that's the
yeah,
that thing.
Yeah,
so,
he muscle bound.
Yeah.
He got, he,
yeah, so it's like, he looked like, okay, he belongs there, but he was actually kind of small, though, like, and if he were to move up to middleweight, I feel like there would have been a size difference. Like, if he were to fight Robert Whittaker, if he's, you know, in front of Vittori and these guys, like, I feel like he would look small standing in front of those guys. Or if you look at him at the face-off, it'd be like, wow, he looks small for this weight class. So it's tough. I know there's guys like that, but overall, I mean, and then it leads in these situations where it's like Adesanya is, you know, he came into the fight. I think it was probably because there was probably a huge size difference, and I bet you Adesanya came in closer to 180. You know, he was probably like in the 190 somewhere, I would guess. And Pereira probably bulked up to, like, you know, he was in the heavyweight limit. You know what I mean? He was probably, you know, 210. You know, maybe even more. Maybe, you know, who knows? Like, maybe up to 210, I would guess. So it's like, I think it looked that way because it probably was that way. You know, there was probably a 10-20 pound weight difference, easy.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's kind of crazy that you could rehydrate 25 pounds. That's crazy. And I know that has to put the body in shock, going from, you know, starving itself for water to all of a sudden, you know, overdosing on water, you know. But, you know, I just wanted to get your opinion on that, because that was really really bothering me, because I know that is such a competitive advantage. People can say what they want, but that is a competitive advantage when you're making somebody fight basically a weight class up. You know, Adesanya fighting a guy that should be in the 205, you know. So, yeah, man, that's kind of crazy, but you might, I know I didn't watch this, but I heard about it over the weekend. Kayla Harrison suffered her first defeat in PFL. When you heard about it, what was your first thoughts?
Oh, what, Kayla Harrison losing in the PFL?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, my real first thoughts? Oh my goodness! You know what I thought,
we keep it a buck up here. We keep it a buck.
Nah, I'm gonna tell you my real first thoughts. See, when I had my first thoughts, I didn't speak it, because when I saw it, I didn't want to tweet it because I'm like, damn, let me just let that go. You know what I mean? Let me just not even do it. Because I really don't care that much. You know, I don't care about her or the PFL. But I'll tell you this. My first thought was, wow, here's a girl that talked all that shit, you know, saying that she's going to come over here and, you know, beat up Amanda Nunes. And who, what was she saying? Cyborg, you know. Who has Cyborg beat and all this other shit? What the hell was she? You know, here's a girl, you know, that talks all this stuff saying, you know, she's the best woman's fighter in the world and she's losing to these girls in PFL. It's like, and you want to talk about Amanda Nunes? It's like, really? Like, at least these names that you want to call out, it's like, are you sure that you're on that level? Are you sure you're on that level? That you can be named with these women that you like to, you know, bash all the time. That was the thought that I had. It's like, wow, look at this. What do we have here? Losing to somebody none of us had ever heard of. Imagine that. And she had all that shit that she talked about, all these all-time great women's MMA fighters. I thought that was hilarious. And, hey, that might be a wake-up call for her. That might be a wake-up call for her, man. I don't know, Lee. I think that might be a wake-up call for her. Might have to tone it down a little bit.
You are going to laugh when I say this. I thought of you. I said, my man Keys, boy, he done did it again. Kayla Harrison out here talking about everything except her opponent. You know, fighting Amanda Nunes, fighting Cyborg, about being a free agent, you know, all this. When she wins, where would this put her at as far as all-time greats? And one thing we always say, Keys, don't put the cart in front of the horse. You have to respect all your opponents. Everybody that steps in that octagon think they have a chance of winning. And guess what? Pacheco did too. She thought she had a chance of winning. And Harrison not only gave her and forced that thought, she kind of let that thought grow bigger and stronger by overlooking her. And I was just thinking about Keys. I was like, man, when Keys picked Oliveira fight, what did he say? He said Oliveira is focused on everything else. Except Islam. I don't like it.
Tell him, bro.
And I think he loses.
Tell him I said it. Say it again. Say it again.
Yep. And
look what happened. Look what happened to him.
And that's what I thought when I saw that Kayla Harrison lost. I said, oh, my man, Keys, boy, woo-wee. Because she been talking about everybody, bro, except the girl she was going to fight. It's like, yo, you got to have a healthy respect for your opponent. You just can't think somebody's going to come in the octagon and lay down for you. They're not going to do that, especially when it's $1 million on the line. It's $1 million on the line. So, yeah, bro, I thought about you, man.
Hey, I'm honored, man, because I didn't know you were going to say that. I figured you would have had a similar reaction as me. You know, I didn't want to put it out, and I didn't because I really don't care enough to put it out. But and I was like, damn, let me not seem like a hater, but let's just let that be, you know. But hey, serves you right type of thing. But I'm on it, man. You thought of me because it's damn true, man. Oliveira, you know, I always say, like, when you go up to a big fight, you see these guys, and they're like thinking about the next fight, or they're thinking about going to another division. You know, look what happened. You know, it just happened with Kamaru Usman, too. It's like, Kamaru Usman is my guy. I can't wait to see. Okay, and let's just make it clear. Do I think Kamaru Usman is going to go out to the London or, you know, wherever in the UK they want to do it and beat the brakes off Leon Edwards and get his belt back? 1,000%. I'll just put that out there right now. 1,000%. He's going to beat that boy down. But that's just it. He's going to get the belt back. And that's why my other boy, Bilal Muhammad, is talking crazy about Usman getting the rematch because I think he knows if Usman gets the belt back, you know, I have a harder path here. I mean, you still have a hard fight. You might not beat Leon, but I think if Usman gets it, the belt gets even further away from Bilal. You know what I mean? It's even harder. It's like, damn, like, can't have Usman. But the point is, and we'll get to that. We'll get to more of that. But the point is that look at Usman. He was talking about moving up to – he wanted to skip the 185 division, move up to 205. So what was he doing? In the build-up to his Leon fight, I knew it right when I saw – right when I saw Usman, even though I still thought Usman was going to win, I did have my doubts, and I want to say I said it on our show. I said, I don't like that he is – I think Usman wins, but I definitely don't like that he is having a face off at the Yan Blachowicz. Bro, there's a lot of feedback on your mic, bro.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I just didn't know if you knew how much it was coming through. Yeah, I said, I think Usman wins, but I definitely don't like the fact that he's in the back, you know, he's backstage facing off with Blachowicz, you know, trying to basically do promo for that fight or his move up to 205 or, you know, he was talking about fighting Jerry and his chances fighting with Jerry and, you know, for the belt and all this, and I didn't like that. I remember just saying, I thought Usman will win, but I definitely don't like that he seems more focused on the light heavyweight division than and like GOAT talks. They were asking about GOAT talks more than he was his opponent that was in front of him. And
Yep. Hey,
he was winning the fight until he wasn't. And that's just another one of those cases.
And for the record, you did say that. You did say, man, I just don't like him backstage doing face off with Blachowicz. What are we doing here? You know? Leon is a formidable guy. So he was like, yeah, man, I don't like that. I just didn't like what he did with Blachowicz. And you did point that out because I didn't see it. And then I went back and looked at it after we had got off, and I was like, this dude talking about jumping two weight classes to fight at 205? Nah, man, come on. Yeah, man, hey, any fighters out there, I don't care what you do, if it's kickboxing, boxing, MMA, arm wrestling, your opponent deserves to be respected because anybody can go into a fight and win. All it takes is one shot, one slip up by you, and they take advantage of it and the fight over. So you got to have a healthy respect for your opponent, man. But I got one more thing I got to ask you before you jump at me. All right, Yuri Prochazka has vacated the light heavyweight title because he's been injured. They said he got a shoulder injury. They said he could return in 6 months. I tweeted out that I didn't understand why they would make him vacate the title when basically all the champions only fight twice a year. So you give him 6 months, and basically he on track to fight twice next year. So I didn't understand vacating the title. Am I wrong or am I right?
You're saying that so you don't really like the fact that he says Jerry vacated the title.
Exactly.
Well, I kind of feel like on this one that I like that he vacated the title. I'm going to say I like it, and I think it's honorable that he even did that because and I think that it's even bigger than him stripping the title because I think it really than him vacating the title because I think it sets the right example, you know, because a lot of these dudes just want to sit back, they want to sit on their title because they have injuries. You know, we've seen guys year plus, you know, sit on belt with injuries, or you got like other dudes just wanting to sit out and not even we don't even know if they have injuries. You know, Aljamain Sterling was just talking about that. He wanted to, he just fought in October. Now he said he wanted to sit out for 8 months and fight in June. And everybody was like, "Why are we waiting that long? You know, like why do you have to take it? Why are you taking 8 months off and then you'll fight in June? Like, what is that?" Like, so that is I think what Jerry did is setting the right example, in my opinion. I think it's setting the right example for the way that you should move as a champion, because when you're the champion, you know, you're supposed to be defending your belt against guys that want to take it from you. They think they're the best. So how are you just going to sit there? Like, how are you going to sit there and not be willing to defend your belt? And okay, you have an injury, so you can't defend your belt. Right. So it's not that you don't want to, but you just are unable to. So Jerry vacated the title. And he knows that, and I haven't read into the depth of, I don't have the full picture of his injury, but I have read a little bit, and they're saying that, I'm pretty sure Dana White said, and I know Dana White exaggerates a little bit. We know sometimes, and he even lies a little bit, but he did say that, we know he does, so you can't always take what he says, you know, for exactly what he says, but I do think that he wouldn't really, I don't think, this is probably more or less true. I don't think you would do that with this kind of statement. Dana White said, this is one of the worst. I don't know if he said it's one of the worst, or he either said this is one of the worst, or he said this is the worst shoulder injury, or did he say it's the worst shoulder surgery? I don't know. It was something like that. He either said this is one of the worst shoulder injuries. This is one of the worst shoulder injuries we've ever seen in the UFC. So,
okay.
Apparently, and I might have butchered the words a little bit, but he more or less said that. And so if that's the case, I think Jerry knows that his timeline is, this is a long timeline for his recovery. I think he knows that. And we just don't know what the timeline is yet. So, but even if he was going to be out 6 months, I still think it's honorable that, and I still respect him vacating the title, because you got to look at it, you got to date it back. When's the last time when did he win his belt? He won his belt back in June. He won his belt back on June 11th. So if he was supposed to, so he had a 6 month gap, right, in between winning the belt and his, what would be his first title defense, which was going to be next weekend. So that was 6 months. Now say his timeline for recovery, and I'm not saying this is it, I don't know officially what it is. I don't even know if anyone knows that, but let's just say it was 6 months. That would be, you're now pushing us to June 2023. So now you're saying it would take him 1 year from the time that he won the belt to make his first title defense. Now that's the part. Now I'll bring it back and ask you, do you agree with that?
No, because I gave Aljamain Sterling the same grief that it took him a year to get back in the octagon when he fought, when he came back and just fought, when he fought Peter Yan. So, yeah, I wouldn't agree with it. But that's why I asked you, because you made me change my opinion now. Because now that you bring that up, Jerry is not holding the division hostage. And one of the things that me and Keys really, really can't stand are interim title belts. We dislike interim title belts. Is that right, Keys?
Yeah, I think we're good on the interim title, man.
We cannot stand interim titles. So I'm good. I think what Dana was trying to say was, it's probably one of the most severe shoulder injuries that he's seen. And when you think about that, the rehab is going to be just as hard. So, but at the same time, I do like the matchup for the title. You get Jan Blachowicz versus Ankalaev, man. I like that fight. I think that's a dope fight. Glover Teixeira kind of bowed out, saying that he needed more time to prepare. So I really, really like this title fight. You know, I'm a fan of Jerry. I like him. Keys really don't like him too much. I like him. But too bad that, you know, he can't defend his title. We wish that he get well soon. But in the meantime, hey, let the 205 division get back on track. Let's have some fights, man. You know, I'm quite sure Teixeira is going to fight the winner of the main event at 282. So let's get it on, man. Let's get it on.
and just to, you know, a couple of quick things right here. So the quote from Dana was this. While you were talking, I looked it up. Dana White said, this is from BJPenn.com. So Dana White said, this is the worst shoulder injury the doctors have seen in UFC history. White told Yahoo Sports, it's really fucking bad. His shoulder is very, very bad. He's going to have serious surgery that will require extensive rehab.
Okay. All right. So it don't sound like hyperbole then.
Yeah, it doesn't. It sounds like if he's going to have surgery, there's going to be, you know, a long rehab and recovery time. So I think his timeline is decently long, man. I think that's why. I mean, and like I said, even if it was, let's just say, you know, figuratively, it's 6 months, even though it's, I'm not saying it is, but say it was 6 months, you would still be pushing it to a year before he would have defended his belt for the first time. I think 6 months might be a low ball. You know, the way this sounds, I feel like 6 months would be a low ball, in my opinion. I feel like it's probably going to be longer than 6 months, unfortunately. And I hope he gets well soon. It's not like I don't hate the guy. I just have it's one of those things where I feel like he kind of just got, like, pushed to the top really quick because he is an exciting fighter. And then I just want to see him prove himself, you know. It's like the guy that's – I have an issue with, like, the champion being a guy that is only, you know, 3-0 or 4 – I think he's 4-0 in the UFC. Like, that kind of bothers me, you know what I mean? And I need to see him show me – you know, I need to see more work from him. That's really what it is. I feel like he's – I haven't seen enough, you know, and the fact that he's the champion at 4-0, that kind of bothers me. I mean, the fact that – and I could say the same about Pereira. The fact Pereira is now the champion and he's only like – whatever his record is, he's now like similar thing. He's like 5-0, I think, and he's the champion. That kind of bothers me too. I want to see Pereira prove himself too. Why do you think – you know, it's a similar case, but, you know – That's not the subject right now. But overall, yeah, I want to see him get well too. You know, I hope the best for him as well, regardless of my harsh criticism of his work in the octagon. We hope he, you know, the best recovery, you know.
Well, I mean, it ain't a harsh criticism. It's the truth. But at the same time, it goes back to some of these divisions don't have the depth that they used to have. They don't have the quality of good fighters once you get past the top seven that they used to have. 205 used to be a stacked division back in the day. You know, you had John Jones, Gustafson, Daniel Cormier, you had Thiago Alves, you had the karate guy, I can't even think of his name right now. Yeah, Shogun Hua. I mean, you know, back then, light heavyweight had names. But now that division, man, once you get past the top five, it's like, which up-and-coming guy can we rally behind and say, man, I can't wait for this guy to become the champion? But then when you look at it, it's like, when he becomes champion, who's going to fight him? Who has, you know, got a resume, you know? And it's just crazy right now that division is so weak, man. It's really, really weak. And the 185 division, I wouldn't say it's weak. I would say that Adesanya has beaten most of the top guys in that division. So we were just to the point of, you know, who else he going to fight? Well, he done beat Whitaker twice. He beat Yoel Romero. He beat Jared Cannonier. You know, so we were just like to the point of who he going to fight. And, you know, so it was like, but it just goes to the lack of depth in the division.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. I mean, if they said that, and here's a stat too, speaking of which, shout out to my guy, NJ MMA Insight on Twitter. Go follow NJ on Twitter. He's got good content over there. Me and him actually go back and forth. We go back and forth, you know, pretty frequently. But good dude, you know, good dude he is. And but yeah, yes. Speaking of him, we here's a stat for you. Speaking of him, here's a stat for you, is that they said that if Israel Adesanya had beaten Pereira in that fight, you know, obviously he didn't beat him, but if he had beaten him, he would have beaten everybody in the top six, one through six, that middleweight. And I think two of those people he had beaten twice. So it would have been Adesanya would have beaten every middleweight ranked one through six and two of them twice if he had just beaten Pereira, you know, a couple weekends ago.
Wow. Now that is a stat.
That's a laugh of the division. People talk about, like, you ran through a division. Like, he ran through the division, man. And you know what's crazy is that we were very close to getting a third rematch with one of those top six guys, Israel, and one of those top six. And you know who I'm talking about, our boy Blon Brunson, man, the different beat. You know, he was like, yo, Blon Brunson, man, that's another one. We were right about him the whole time. And it was, man, there's something about fighters dyeing their hair blonde. Like, when you go blonde, you just stop becoming a beast. It was like, right once Oliveira dyed his hair blonde, he went on that win streak. It was like he beat Ferguson. I think he dyed it blonde right before he fought Tony. And then, or it was right after he fought Tony. It was right around that time. And then he went on a big win streak. Same thing with Blon Brunson. He went blonde, and he completely became a new mythical fighter. This guy became a beast. And so, man, so he became a complete beast. So shout out to Derek Brunson. And, you know, we're a fan of Derek Brunson at Lee and Keys Real Talk, man. And that's real talk. So shout out to Brunson,
yeah,
man. And, but
I
got
to say, Keys called it. Keys called it. When he dyed his hair blonde, Keys said, hey, we're about to see a reinvention of Brunson. I mean, I didn't see it coming. But, man, yeah, because when T-City cut all his hair off and he went bald, hey, he was doing his thing when he went bald. Yeah, man, it's been some of these dudes, man, when they get a new hairdo, hey, they kind of become a new person. All right.
And you know what? I think that's why, and I think it was mental warfare, because I think that's why when Volkanovski realized he was going to fight him, Volkanovski, was Volkanovski already bald? No, he wasn't. Nah, was Volkanovski already bald before?
He used to have like a short crew cut.
Yeah, he had a little bit of hair, but so he wasn't bald, but he just had really short hair. But when he was going to fight Ortega, you see how he did that? Volkanovski went fully bald. I think he was trying to combat it. You know, he knew that it was like, okay, Brian Ortega shaved his hair bald, shaved his head bald. Now he's a beast. So the only way I can combat, you know, that energy, the only way I can get to where he's at is I need to go bald too. So he had his barber shave his head. Telling you. And then look what happened. And then Volkanovski beat him down. He had to shave his head, bro. Telling you. He turned Volkanovski, went into demon mode after that.
Well, people, if you are a fan of our show, Keys have unretired mental warfare tonight. I haven't heard him use that term in quite a while. And he unretired it tonight. Volkanovski used mental warfare by going bald against bald Brian T. City. And he ended up beating him down. Okay. All right. I'm with you, bro. So what's on your mind tonight, man?
So, and now this is the thing that's on my mind, right? You might be surprised by this, but so I was eating my dinner a little while ago. Actually, that's not where you're going to be. That wasn't the surprise. I know you're surprised by that. Yeah. That's a surprise. Okay, okay. You know? That wasn't it, though. That wasn't it.
All right.
So, because usually I, you know, y'all know that. But anyways, I was eating dinner a little while ago, right? And when I was eating, I decided, I was watching some YouTube, and I decided to watch, because we have the Stephen Thompson and Kevin Holland fighting in the main event this weekend in UFC Orlando. So I decided to watch, you know, some of I watched all of it. I watched Kevin Holland, one of the pieces from Media Day. I watched him answer some questions. He was talking a bunch of shit up there. Shout out to Kevin Holland. And you know what's on my mind, bro?
They had
Kevin Holland predict his fight with Wonderboy when he was in there. You know what he predicted?
What's that?
He predicted the Key Special, man. He said,
third round TKO.
Bro, he did. He said he didn't. I don't think he said whether it would be where he was going to flatline him or if he said it was going to be a TKO. But I feel like he was saying. He said a third round finish. He said it's gonna be some kind of knockout. You know, it's a third round finish, and he wasn't talking about submitting him. You know, I feel like he was talking about taking him out with his hands because he was like, I feel like by the third round, once I start to really touch him, you know, it's gonna be over for him. You know, shortly after that. So I'm seeing a third round finish for sure. So he's talking about either KO, TKO, third round. So basically, Kevin Holland is saying he's going to win via the Key Special.
And I am going to say he's going to win via the Key Special cousin, the second round KO or TKO. But, you know, while we're on the Key Special, we need some clarification. We need to know Key Special, a third round TKO or third round KO. There is a big difference between a TKO and a KO. So tonight, we need a clarification on what is the Key Special. Because I'm going with the Key Special little cousin, the second round TKO.
Little cousin. Oh, that's fire. All right. Yeah, I rock with that, man. I like that a lot. That's the cousin. That's the little cousin. Second round TKO. Yeah, so for a fact that the Key Special is a third round TKO. That's a fact.
Okay.
Third round TKO. So if it's the third round KO, if it's like a flatline, you know, walk off KO something, or it's a third round submission, both of those is like they're like variations of the official Key Special is the third round TKO, 100%. But if you're going to say it's a third round KO or a third round submission, it's like it's a different variation of it. You know what I mean? It's still in the category. It's still Key Special, but it's not the official Key Special.
Is that like the step brother?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it could be like the, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like the step brother and the stepbrother is like the stepbrother of the Key Special is like the third round submission. And then the third round KO is kind of like, it's like the OG uncle, you know? That's like giving you life advice.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
well, I just wanted
to
clarify.
Giving you life advice, man. That's the third round KO, flatline. Like, you know, some like Francis Ngannou type shit. Like, that's the OG uncle, bro. He's probably like, you know, giving you plays on like fantasy football and shit. So he's gonna go tell you how to spit game to that girl too. You know, he's probably gonna go give you $100 to go do it. So that's shout out to the OG uncle, man, whoever he is.
Yeah, man. But I gotta say, man, it's there are some interesting fights on this card. I'm looking at the card. Is that Michael Johnson? Is Michael Johnson fighting on this card? The Michael Johnson? He's fighting Diakazi. And I like Diakazi. And then Keith, they got one of the hottest in the game on this card. Tracy Cortez is fighting on this card. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, man, this card is nice, man. This is a nice little fight night card, man. Looking at it, I like the prelim main event with Nico Price going against this guy Phil Rowe. You got Angela Hill on the prelims. She always entertaining. Like I said, you got Michael Johnson going against Dia Casey. Dan Elkins is on this card. Hotter than fish grease, Tracy Cortez. And then there are like four fights on the main card that I'm like, okay. We got Brian Barberena going against RDA. Tai Tuivasa going against Pavlovich in the heavyweight. And we got Eric Anders going against Kyle Daukus. So, yeah, man, this card is actually pretty nice and stacked to be a fight night card, man.
Well, yeah, it definitely is. And you just kind of reminded me about that because I knew a couple of weeks ago, I was like, wow, that UFC Orlando card, man, it might be better than the pay-per-view, bro. This might be better. If you really look at it, this might be better than UFC 282. Because I also thought that Tai Tuivasa was on UFC 282. He's actually on this card. And he's fighting Pavlovich. Like, Tai Tuivasa versus Pavlovich is a crazy heavyweight fight, bro. That is a crazy fight. Like, that's
two top five heavyweights, I think.
Yeah, because Pavlovich, Pavlovich just beat Derek Lewis, and Tuivasa just lost in, like, a great fight versus Cyril Gane. Yo, Gane and Tuivasa, man, if you really look at it, like, Gane and Tuivasa might have fight of the year, man. If you really look at it, Tuivasa might be part of the fight of the year. That was a bang. Like, Gane and Tuivasa put it on, bro. It didn't matter. Like, that, to me, is probably, like, that one's there. And then, because, you know, we got to talk, our Fight of the Year, you know, awards is coming up soon, y'all. So just remember that. It's coming. So you know we're thinking about these. So the game in Tuivasa, they put on a performance in there. And then I have one other one that I have for that. Those are probably, like, there's one other one that, like, those are probably some of my top picks. But, yeah, we'll be getting that soon, but. This card might be low-key better than the pay-per-view, bro. And you know who else is on this card that I've been waiting for him to come back, and I was wondering where the hell he was at. I feel like he hasn't fought in, like, 2-3 years or something. Nico Price.
He's headlined the prelims.
Man, where
he
the
is
hell
headlined
has
the
Nico
prelims.
Price been? When's the last time you heard of him fighting?
Yeah, I'm looking that up now when you brought it up.
I think it's been
His last fight was October 2nd, 2021.
Okay, so he hasn't fought. It's been like a year and change since he fought.
Yeah.
So I overplayed it a little bit. I thought it had been like 2-3 years. But still, that's a while, though. It's been over a year since he fought. So I'm right to wonder, man. I was like, where the hell has he been at? When I saw he was on this card, I was like, wow, I haven't seen his name on a card in a minute. Who did he fight the last time? I don't even know. Who did he fight there?
It looked like Alex Oliveira.
What?
I
don't even remember.
Yeah, let me make sure I got the person's. Let me make sure I got the person's name right, though. It just say A. Oliveira, so. Let me make sure I got their name right. But he won a unanimous decision. Alex Oliveira. Nope. Is that Cowboy right. Oliveira? That's Cowboy Oliveira.
Yeah. That's Cowboy.
Yeah, that's Cowboy Oliveira.
Man. And I think... Yeah, that's Cowboy, and I think Phil Rowe is that. I think he's a. I want to say he's a Contender Series guy. I think Phil Rowe is like a Contender Series guy that's looked pretty good so far. I think that's who that is.
Yeah, he's 9-3. Yeah, he started off on the Contender Series. He lost his first fight, and he won his last two fights against guys I don't even know. So. Yeah. He's a contender series.
And nominated you with a question. I got a question because it's a good one.
Okay.
So, yeah, man, this main card's excellent. You got Jack Hermanson. You got some good stuff here, man. This might be better than the pay-per-view. All right, so here's the question. This is a good one for you. You might even laugh. I don't know. Now, your girl Angela Hill is on the undercard. She's fighting Emily Dussault. She's on the undercard in the prelims co-main event. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Very serious. Is Angela Hill going to get robbed of a decision in this fight? Is she going to lose in a fight she actually won? Or is it going to be or not?
All right.
It seems like that happens a lot.
People will not understand this, and they will probably say, me and you making a big deal out of this. But I feel that whenever – Angela Hill goes to a decision, she always comes out on the short end of the judge's decisions. Case in point, Michelle Waterson fight. I thought she beat Michelle Waterson. I thought she beat Claudia Gadelha. But I thought she got robbed of the decision. Her best thing is she has to come out and be dominant. When you know that you normally don't get the shake on the judges' call cards, you have to come out and you have to – the key word you should have plastered around your gym as your cell phone screensaver is dominate, because history shows that if it's a close fight, you normally don't get that nod in the decisions. Because if you look at her decision fights, unanimous decision she won, unanimous decision she won, unanimous decision she won, unanimous decision she won, unanimous decision. Now, when it comes to the split decisions, win, loss, 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 loss. So, Angela, you got to get it done either with a finish or you have to dominate. Keys, that was a great question, bro. What made you ask that question?
What made me ask, bro, is that I just noticed, I know that's your girl, and I know that that is true with her. She usually puts on good fights. I have, and it's not to say that I haven't seen her lose fights clearly by decision. I definitely have. I know, like, when she fought, I think she fought Tisha Torres not that long ago.
Yep, August 7th.
Yeah, and Tisha beat her clearly. You know, that was, Tisha beat her very clearly. So it's not like she hasn't, like, it's not like there hasn't been times where she lost rightfully on decision. But I know there are many times where she has gotten robbed by decision, and I know that's your girl, so I just wanted to see in your prediction if you were just going to go ahead and predict that she was going to win the fight but to end up losing the fight on the judges' scorecards.
Well, I throw her in with Bobby Green, because Bobby Green was losing fights the same way. It was certain fights that I thought he won, but when you go through the judges, they gave to the other guy. The Fazeev fight for one, I was like, oh man, I know he won this fight, and there's quite a few fights that I thought he had won that he lost when it went to the judges' scorecard. So some of these fighters just don't have the greatest of luck when it comes to going to the judges' scorecards.
And I want to say, Bobby Green actually fought Diakis that you were just talking about. Yeah, speaking of which, Michael Johnson versus Mark Diakis is an excellent fight. I am looking forward to watching that fight. That's a great fight. And, yeah, I want to say that he fought Mark Diakis back in a couple of years ago, and I remember thinking that he got robbed in that fight too. ironic that he's on this card and we got into this discussion.
Yeah, because I'm looking at Bobby Green. On the Islam fight, he got knocked out. The Fiziz fight, I thought he won. The Tiago Moises fight, I thought he won. And both of those fights, he lost by unanimous decision. Who did you say? Did you say Dia Casey?
Yeah, I thought I could have sworn Bobby Green fought Dia Casey a couple of years ago. Maybe not. Thinking of, he did, right?
No, he didn't. I'm trying to see who might be close to Dia Casey, but I don't see nobody except Jakar Close. He lost to Jakar Close by unanimous decision. And he lost to Francisco Trinaldo by unanimous decision.
Yeah, I was thinking of Close. I somehow get those two guys mixed up a lot in my mind. I don't know why. Maybe because they're 145 and 155 division. Because I think Close is at 155.
Yeah,
thought he was.
He's at lightweight.
All right, so maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's 145, 155. I don't know. Because it's not like they even really, they don't. Yeah, I don't really know how I get those two mixed up like that. But, yeah, I think I had them beating Close when they fought Bobby Green and Close. That was a couple of years ago. I definitely thought he won that one.
Yeah, but it's just certain fighters, man. When the fight goes to the judges' scorecard, they just have bad luck, man. So when you have a history like that, then you have to take the fight in your own hands and you have to become the aggressor and you have to be the one that dominates the fight. Leave it so there is no doubt that you won the fight. So, yeah, man, but that was a great question, bro.
Thank you, my man. And I have one more thing I want to ask you. This is actually a two-part question. So, and this is regarding the light heavyweight title fight next weekend. So what I wanted to, so at first, I'm glad that I'm able to ask this question because I thought at first that they were just going to have them fight and there was going to be no title. I thought they were just going to, like, vacate the title and then just leave it floating somewhere and then just let those two fight in it. That's what I thought they were doing at first. I didn't have the full context. I want to say, when that news came out, I was at work and I couldn't, like, I tried to read it real quick, but I couldn't get, I didn't have, the details weren't out there. I didn't see it, like, say that was the title fight now and they were just going to fight for the vacant belt. I didn't see that. So I'm glad that I can ask you this question now, being that they're fighting for the title. The winner of this will be the light heavyweight champion and will maybe fight Jerry if he, at some stage when he does get back, or maybe fight Glover after that. I don't know. Maybe fight my boy Jamal Hill, which I would love to see. Shout out to Jamal Hill, by the way. Jamal Hill is going to fight. I think Jamal Hill's fighting Anthony Smith. I think that's in March. I don't know why it's
Ooh-wee.
All the way.
What?
You know about that one?
No, I ain't know about that one.
Goodness. Yeah, man. He got that. That's a big fight for him. I'm happy. He deserves that
fight for him.
You know, yeah, he deserves a fight like that. You know what I mean?
Oh my goodness! I'm into that one. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know why it's all the way to March. I'm not really sure why. I feel like because Jamal Hill fought like a couple months ago. I don't know why. And then Anthony Smith fought. I want to say a couple. Anthony Smith fought Ankalaev. I think Anthony Smith. I think he did have an injury, though. I think because Anthony Smith last fought Ankalaev, he fought him, and I think Ankalaev TKO'd him, but I want to say Anthony Smith, like, was injured. It wasn't like I don't think the fight was stopped because of the injury, but I think he did have an injury, like, he got injured in that fight, and then, so I get that. That might be why they're not fighting until March, but I know if Jamal Hill wanted, he would probably fight sooner. I feel like he would probably be trying to fight on the next weekend's card if it was up to him, but he probably couldn't get an opponent. He probably wanted a top five guy. and it was probably – I bet you that was the only guy there because the rest of these guys are all either in next weekend's main event or, you know, they thought they were fighting for the title next weekend. So, really, everyone else is kind of not available for him. So, I was probably the only – Kevin Smith's probably, like, ranked number five or something. But anyways, what was the point of telling you this? Oh, yeah, so for the title fights, I'm going to ask you this. Part one is – you don't have to give the official prediction, but you just can say, because next week we'll give the official, concrete, the final prediction and the breakdown what we want to give. But so I want to say, who do you think will be – who do you think comes out with the light heavyweight title next Saturday night? And part two of that would be who do you think they'll fight in the one out – who do you think will be waiting there after that? What do you think will be the next fight come, like, you know, March or April, whenever they want to do it, light heavyweight title? Who do you think is going to be there then?
Man, that's an excellent question. I want Jan Blachowicz to win, but I think Ankalaev is going to win this fight, man. It's something about these wrestler guys now that can take people down, that also got that can strike, whereas they seem to overwhelm some of these better fighters with their multiple facets of offense. As much as I love Blachowicz, I hated the way that he lost to Glover Teixeira. And it was just like, where is your gas tank at? Where's your, you going to, you know, you cranking up the speed and the cardio? And it seemed like the longer the fight went on, the better he started to look, and it actually showed in that fight. But I think Ankalaev wins, man. I think he wins, and he defends against Glover Teixeira. And then after that, you have Jiří come back. So I'm going with Ankalaev to win, man. I think he won this fight by unanimous decision, bro. I don't think he can knock Blachowicz out, and I don't think he can submit him. So I'm gonna go with Ankalaev, man. But he better be able to land some takedowns. Because if he can't take Blachowicz down, I really don't think he has the chin to survive against Blachowicz, though. Because Blachowicz striking is world class, and he does possess power. Kalov better come with a solid wrestling game, because if he keeps the fight on his feet, I don't see him winning.
I like it. We shall see. You want my answer as well, or should I leave it for next week?
That's right. You know, you gotta. I mean, you don't have to give your prediction. I mean, you can break down what you think will happen. You know, what you think the strategy should be. You don't have to give your prediction.
All right, I'll give a lean like this. So I think. Leaning towards Ankalaev winning the fight. He's definitely well-rounded. You know, he does enough things. It's like his striking is good enough. Obviously the wrestling is there. He has enough, you know, he definitely has enough to be the champion, you know, probably more than enough. Definitely can't have Jan coming like he did versus Glover. I don't know what that was when he fought that time. I don't know. I was like, I didn't understand what happened. He didn't even look like it. He just looked – I want to say he looked so flat-footed in there. You know, that's what I thought. I remember saying, like, why does he look so, like, flat? You know what I mean? I just thought he looked flat overall. It was weird. Like, I don't know. And then so overall, yeah, I'm a lean Ankalaev. And then on top of it, I'm going to say Jiří's we won't. I'm going to say we probably won't see Jerry till a little bit later in 2023. I feel like his injury, it sounds like it's going to, this might be a little bit before we see him. So he'll be out of the picture for a little while. I think that my boy Jamal Hill is going to beat Anthony Smith. So he's going to be right there. Glover's going to be right there. But at the same time, without it being the Jerry rematch, I don't really know why, like, Glover has this huge stake for the title. I mean, besides the – like, and even with the rematch, I don't really know why he was even getting the rematch, because, like, when did we come up with this thing where it's like, if you win the belt – and if you win the belt – and you had zero title defenses, you lost it in your first title defense, why do we have to give every person that ever won a belt an immediate rematch? Like, can you do things to deserve the rematch first, or do you just have to be given a rematch every time just because you won the belt? It's like, why couldn't you, like, I'd much rather see, like, you know, great champions get a rematch, like Kamaru Usman or Israel Adesanya, guys that really racked up title defenses. So, I'm not really sold on Glover getting the shot. Like, I don't really think he should be that guy. He lost the belt in the first defense. So I think it's Jamal Hill, man. I think that's the way that goes. I think it goes – and they've already talked about fighting each other, Jamal Hill and Akhalayev. So and Jamal Hill said that if the fans wanted it – because people on his Twitter were asking him to fight him, and he was saying if the fans wanted it, they definitely – and if UFC wants it, they definitely have to pay up. You know, they have to pay me more if they want to make that fight happen. So, which, you know, all respect to them. You know, they should pay up if you want that. That's a big fight. They should. So, I think that's the way to go.
Totally agree.
You have, you know, get your bread 1,000%. You know, they should be. So, I think Akhalayev likely wins there, and then you have. He'll be the champ, you know, and he'll wait a little while, you know, a couple months, wait to see how it plays out. And he fights Jamal Hill, I think beats Anthony Smith, and then you have that fight. You have Akhalayev can fight Jamal Hill. I think that'll be the next for the light heavyweight title come, you know, May, June, you know, because if they're not fighting until March, it might take a little bit. So they're going to need it a little bit in between. But yeah, I think that's how it'll go.
Man, you think they would? You really think if Jamal Hill beats Anthony Smith, they will actually give him a title shot? I mean, but the way you look at it though, because Pereira just got a title shot.
Yeah, but who has a longer win streak in the division than Jamal Hill though?
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, he's got the long – look at his win streak. I think he's on either a 7 or 8-fight win streak. And he also has the most wins in his division, period. So – and I think – oh, man, we're going to have to look this up now. Hold up. I'm going to have to get the facts on this. I'm pretty sure he also has the most wins out of all these names we're talking about. He has the most wins inside of the top 10. Longest win streak, most wins against the top 10 in the division, and he has the most wins in his division, period, right now. I think, well, obviously, besides Adesanya has, and then, yeah, so, no, Adesanya is not there. That's middleweight. Yeah, light heavyweight. He has the most wins in the division.
Man. Yeah, okay. All right. I can't argue that. You know, I was just thinking, because, you know, we just was mad about Pereira getting a title fight after less than 5 UFC fights. And who else are we talking about getting a title shot, you know? So, you know, we wanted people to get a little bit more experience now under the bright lights. But, hey, sometimes the death of the division is just that. It could lead to the death of the division. So, I'm with you, man. But what's your last words for tonight, bro? We had a good show tonight.
So, all right. So, no, we'll get the facts right now. See, maybe I was off a little bit. Maybe my numbers are off a little bit. So Jamal Hill has, all right, so he has 5 wins. All right, so I was off a little bit. He has 5 wins. Yeah, he has 5 wins Johnny, but look at the names he's beaten, though. He has against good guys. So he has 5 wins. He has 5 wins in the division. He had 1 win on the contender series. So he had 1 win in the contender series. You don't count that. So say he's 1 no contest, 1 loss against Paul Craig.
Yep.
So it's 5-1-1, I guess, if you want to say the no contest.
That's not bad.
One.
That's
so
not
he's
bad.
5-1-1. So it's still better than – so, okay, so I get it. But if he beats Andy Smith, he'll be 6-1-1 at like that.
Yep, with another top 10 win.
Yeah, I feel like you're getting up there at that point. You have
six
wins in division. And actually, yeah, OSP, Darko Stozic was his first fight. Then he fought OSP. Then he TKO'd OSP. He KO'd Jimmy Crute. He KO'd Johnny Walker. And he TKO'd Thiago Santos. So I feel like he has wins against, you know, some of the names of the division, too.
Yeah. Because Anthony Smith was a former – he fought for the belt. So Thiago Santos fought for the belt. So you're talking about two guys that actually fought for the belt that he possibly going to have wins over. So I can't argue that, man. And plus, he's doing it the right way. He is fighting quality competition. So, hey, we can't knock the hustle.
Yeah, man, and so we'll see what happens. I mean, maybe if they want to do one more fight for him after that and go for, you know, 7-1-1, if you want it to be 7 wins in division, you know, maybe that happens, but I don't know. That would be the way I'd like to see it, but if it doesn't, it doesn't. That's cool. If they want to do one more and have him fight, I don't even know who he would – maybe him and Glover have to fight. I don't know. You have him fight somebody, but – and they could fight for the shot or whatever, but – either way, to close out, I will say, I don't really think I have anything, man. I think I'm just, I'll say that I definitely, you know, we're getting into something that's been on my mind lately. We're getting into the season of giving right now. I feel like the Christmas season. I mean, you might whatever holiday you celebrate. I still feel like the holiday season. I feel like it's a happy time of the year and it's a giving time of the year. You know, do something for somebody else and you know try to make their life better or make their day brighter. You know, instead of because we always do for ourselves. But I think this is the time of the year. You know, you kind of start to think about what can I do to like make this person's day better? And then you know you give gifts and the whole thing is there and so. Yeah, that's what's kind of been on my mind lately. I'd say I'm starting to feel in that holiday spirit. You know, I'm feeling really good about life right now. I think do something for somebody else, you know, one of these days coming up or one of these weeks coming up, you know. It's the season.
Yeah.
Make another happy. Think about something you could do for somebody to make their day a little bit better, a little bit brighter, you know. And that's all I got in closing. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Hit us up on Twitter. You know, we're pretty active there. Lee and Keys Real Talk on Twitter. Follow us. And that's all I got. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate y'all.
Hey, Keys, have you been looking at the people that's been following us lately? Like, have you been paying attention?
Oh, I saw it. Yeah, he had it.
Well, you know, man, Keys brings up an excellent point. I wasn't going to put this in my closing tonight, but I am going to put this in my closing tonight. It's the holiday season. Some people are less fortunate than others. You know, if you have a charity or something that you, if you could spare it, you know, donate to make a family that's in need, let them have a happy, either a good meal or some toys for the kids, if you can spare it. Actually, I'm going to go on my Twitter account tonight, and I'm going to do a hashtag Toys for Tots. You know, the last couple of years have been hard on American families due to a lot of people losing their job due to the pandemic. Some people choosing not to go back to work, but that's neither here nor there. The kids shouldn't suffer. So I'm going to do something about Toys for Tots on my Twitter later on. But this is a season where, you know, look after your friends. This is one of the times of year where people become depressed. People become a little bit more suicidal. So check on your friends. See how they're doing. If you notice the different things in your friends, take note. You know, call them every day. Text them. You know, just checking on them, you know. So this show, I always say, in the show with, you only get one life to live. Live it to the fullest. Ride it till the wheels fall off. If you can get the wheels repaired, get them fixed and ride some more. Because it's your life, you only get one, and live it like ain't no tomorrow, man. That being said, Lee and Keys Real Talk signing off. And as always, we close the show with a peace.